Patty Vasquez, Patty Vasquez.
From global conflicts to greenhouse gases, the folks refusing to wear masks says, and politicians getting caught grabbing asses says, she's driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
Hello. And happy Wednesday. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are right now and whenever you're listening to this, because I know some of our friends can't catch us live, but they watch it later either on our Facebook page or the YouTube video that we've got, or perhaps on one of the different platforms where you can hear. Go to WCPT820.com and you can listen to all of our show broadcasts. Our number is 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278 to join our conversation and tell us what's on your mind. What topics have caught your attention today? I know for many of us, it's the news out of FOP and the president of FOP urgently telling his members not to get vaccinated, not to follow the mandates or disregard them. And it's a little just, you know, I understand disagreeing with a mandate or requirements, but let's not encourage people not to stay healthy, not to protect themselves, their families, and their community, in particular in a role where their mission is to serve and protect. So let me know if that's something you've been thinking about today. And I am excited to catch up with our friends from Wizard World. Our friend Jerry will be joining us in studio to talk about the great events this weekend. And Wizard World's opens tomorrow at the Donald E. Stephen Convention Center in Rosemont. We'll be broadcasting there live. Melissa from WCPT will be there and giving live updates and filling Joan in on how things are going at Wizard World. They haven't been able to gather in 20 months. And as I've mentioned before, this is one of my favorite events of the year. I know it sounds, you know, people always think about Comic-Cons and it sounds kind of corny or, you know, what's it all about. I absolutely love it. There's just so many people who are there to enjoy the different forms of entertainment that have spoken to them over the years, whether it's something in science fiction, whether it's, you know, well, and, you know, we could get into a conversation about the difference between science fiction and fantasy. But I like, for example, the way it's been explained to me is that Star Wars is fantasy and Star Trek is science fiction. Mm-hmm. Muddle around, let that sort of twirl around in your brain a little bit. 773-763-9278. And again, we'll be talking to Jerry about Wizard World in just a little bit. And I do want to let you know I have not just one, but two prizes to give away. One I'll be doing live, and the other I'm going to tell you where to go at WCPT. We don't storm the Capitol to start a riot. We go to Riot Fest instead. And this year, Riot Fest is going all year long with Riot Fest Presents. See all your favorite bands and more. And at WCPT, we'll be giving away tickets to see all of them. Check into the WCPT Club to see who's playing and to enter to win. And today, we are going to give away a pair of tickets. Oh, I am giving away a pair of tickets on the air. I didn't know that. I'm excited now. I get to be the prize giver. We're giving away a pair of tickets on the air to see Front Bottoms at Radius this Friday, October 15th. So that's this week on Friday the 15th. Tickets are still available at AXS.com. That's AX and S as in Sam.com. And for more information on this or any show, visit riotfest.org. So don't forget that all contests running on WCPT 820 are open to listeners 18 or older and residents of the Greater Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana area. One entry per person, one winner per household. Void or prohibited by law. Listeners may only win or qualify to win once every 30 days. Complete rules are available on our website at WCPT820.com by clicking the contest tab. So let's take give me a number, Lady B. You show me the fingers. Caller number 4 to win a pair of tickets to see Front Bottoms at Radius this Friday, October 15th. That number is 773-763-9278. And that prize is going to caller number 4. And I look forward to finding out who our winner is. And later on, we'll be giving away another prize. So stay tuned for that. And oh, look at the phone. The phone lines are already ringing. See, Lady B chose number 4. That means that 3 people she has to say, sorry, try again. But that means try again. Hang up right away and try again. You have a very good chance. I don't know how many of you grew up with parents, or maybe you have always tried to win prizes on the radio. It's one of my favorite memories was my dad used to listen to Let's just say another radio station, and he loved trying to call in for prizes. The one I remember the most was a station was giving away tickets to, it was round trip tickets to go to Los Angeles and two tickets to sit in the audience of the Academy Awards. It's one of my favorite memories. My dad tried every day, every morning trying to win those tickets. And my dad was convinced that even when you got a busy signal, that you could just wait until it wasn't busy anymore. And I could not convince him that that wasn't the case. I couldn't get him to hang up and keep trying. And I just, I don't know if that was something when my dad was younger, maybe a phone was busy until it was, it started ringing. And I just don't know why he had that locked in his head. And I feel like I have to explain what a busy signal is to people. I remember when that first, when we first started having call waiting and you didn't necessarily get a busy signal. just the things that we grew up with, which don't even really happen. I mean, I know kids know what a busy signal is, but it's so far and few between because it goes right to voicemail or you just let it ring. But yeah, I just remember my dad trying to win tickets to the Academy Awards. And I hope that some of our friends who won tickets to Wizard World last week will check in with us. I think that our prize winners, we should have made that sort of a caveat. We should have made it a requirement of winning the prize that you have to send us pictures. And maybe you don't want to wear costumes to Wizard World, but take photos for us and let us know what you saw. That would be fun to put on our wall here at WCPT. Some of our friends that are going to Wizard World this weekend. And if you didn't win passes, if you're going to be there, let us know. We'd love to see what is your favorite thing there. For us, it's always things like obviously the superheroes. We're big superhero fans in our household, but also some of the horror elements of that. I was talking to our friend Jerry before I walked into the studio about Bruce Campbell and how much of a fan I am of Bruce Campbell's, and got to interview him a few years ago. And what a great career he's had. And really the, whether it's, and here's the thing, I don't even think that people think of the fact that he was on Xena Warrior Princess. See, I always pull out the random, the things that people aren't going to think of right away, but he played the thief. I can't remember the name of the character, and I'm sure my husband will text it to me in a moment. But such a great event at Wizard World to get to meet some of the folks that you admire on screen or behind the scenes, the writers, the creators of all these great universes, these worlds of fantasy. And we'll be talking to Jerry in just a moment. And I know that we, you know, obviously we want to make sure that we're also talking about the things that are important to you. We are going to talk to Kirk Bankstead tomorrow. I'm sure you've seen all over the news, Minocqua Brewery and their Super PAC have taken on the task of suing school boards throughout, school districts throughout the state of Wisconsin that are not adhering to CDC guidelines when it comes to gathering, in particular children who cannot mask. And he's getting a lot of traction on that. So we want to find out how that is going, because there are families. If you go to Minocqua Brewery's page, this is hashtag progressive beer, and you can see there are parents who are responding to his actions with so much gratitude because they are surrounded by people who refuse to mask. They refuse to socially distance. They are not getting vaccinated. And, you know, this is going to continue to be an issue, because we're seeing with the job numbers that there aren't that we're not coming back. We're not roaring back the way some people were either predicting or hoping, because one, the Delta variant is highly contagious, which means that we are having parts of the country that are spiking that affects us all over the country. And we also have people who are worried. There's a lot of anxiety involved in being exposed to the virus. And we are, you know, I can't tell you how many people in my life who I'm finding out are vaccinated and are getting diagnosed with COVID-19, they're falling ill, and we are having spikes in the Chicagoland area. I'm gonna gather that we are gonna have more of that going forward, as we have so many groups that are being willfully belligerent when it comes to requirements for employment. We're seeing that it works. We're seeing that it does work when you tell folks that, hey, look, if you want to work here, we're gonna need you to be vaccinated for the safety of everyone. It's worked for the airlines. It's worked in municipalities across the country. In Chicago, we are running into some walls. And I get that it's labor. I get that we have workers' rights. There are workers' rights are also the co-workers. The people who work in the same space with you also deserve to be protected. protected as part of their rights. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we're going to check in with our friend Jerry from Wizard World and join our conversation anytime. 773-763-9278. You're listening to Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez on WCPT 820.
Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive.
If we don't get a significant part of the unvaccinated population of this world vaccinated, sooner or later, the virus is going to figure out how to defeat the vaccines we've gotten. So they're going to basically bring us down.
Joan Esposito, weekday afternoons, 2 to 5 on WCPT 820. You're listening to Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez.
In your communities in Chicago.
On WCPT 820.
We are hanging out in WCPT 820's studios because I'm like one of the few people that get to come in these days. And that means that I get to have guests in studio. And I feel really, I'm so lucky to have Jerry Milani, who's here to tell us about Wizard World. It's opening tomorrow. Hey, Jerry, how have you been?
I've been great. I haven't been in a radio studio in 20 months. So here it is.
It's surreal.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Hi. Welcome.
I'm so excited to be here. And I'm so excited to be in Chicago. And I cannot wait for Friday.
Ah, that's so exciting. Where are you from originally?
I'm in New Jersey.
You're in New Jersey. Where in New Jersey?
I live in right by Newark in Montclair, a town called Bloomfield,
Jersey. So when you come into Chicago, I mean, we're like East Coast light more than we are anything like any other part. Like, we're not West Coasters where we're a little too chill, right?
I love Chicago. Okay. We've been Wizard World's been doing the show for 23 years in Chicago. It's our longest running. It's the first show we ever did. It's the last show we're doing. This is the last show under the Wizard World brand.
Wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What?
So the Wizard World shows are moving under the Fan Expo umbrella next year. So Fan Expo is another company that's been doing fabulous shows for years.
Yes.
And they are now expanding from what's 11 shows to now 17. So 7 of the Wizard World shows, including our flagship Chicago. So if you love Wizard World Chicago, you have to come and cry with us this weekend. It's bittersweet. We're excited.
Yes.
We're nervous, but at the same time, we know there's great things ahead, but we're glad there's one more Wizard World for us to, you know, show off our W's.
I didn't know that. I'm triply glad that I'll be able to join you tomorrow. Friday I'll be there broadcasting live, and then Sunday I'm bringing my sons and his friends, and I'm excited to be there, for the last hours of Chicago's, for Wizard World. Tell us about the genesis of, you said 20?
Sure. This show actually predates that. It was called Chicago Comic Con back in the 70s, and then Wizard World, which was at first Wizard Magazine, that covered the pop culture and comics world in a magazine format that no one else was covering for years. And that company purchased the Chicago Comic Con and created Wizard World Chicago in 1998. And it ran consecutively here every year until last year when we couldn't because of the pandemic. So this is not only the 23 years, it's the 23rd year. Normally you'd be the 24th. It's the 23rd show.
Right.
And I've been to 13 of them now. This will be the 13th. So I've seen the show grow, but also you talked about the people here and the fans, and they just embraced this show. This is our show. This is our flagship show. This is the one that when people say Wizard World, they really mean Wizard World Chicago, and you've got to tell them if you're in another city. This is our show, and we're going to bring out everything for this one.
Pulling out all the stops for this one.
For sure.
It's a great venue, and that was so Fan Expo. That'll be the new sort of umbrella for all these events. Wizard World, to me, in contrast with when they do it down the other ones at the, like, let's say McCormick Place or at Navy Pier. That's where I think Fan Expo has done a couple, and I know that the other comic events are at the McCormick Place. The Donnelly Stevens one. It's not just because it's closer to me, but that venue, it just lends itself to having so many different sort of the energy there. I guess is what I love about it.
And look, those other companies do great shows here. And when another group does a show in event in the same area where we are and it's successful, well, that's good for us.
It is.
And when our show is good, that's good for them. And it's kind of the rising tide helps all the boats, raises all the boats. And to me, this is a city that like it has two baseball teams, the city needs more than one pop culture convention. One Wizard World is not enough. One pop culture con is not enough. So we're glad that those other companies do good shows here, because it keeps everything fresh for us and keeps us on our toes, and you know, making us want to make our show even better, which we do every year. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Donald E. Stevens, and it's been our home for all 23 years, and we feel a connection to the fandom that's there. I think it being there helps people from the north and west of the city and west to be able to go. It's easier maybe to get to for some folks. And it's a fandom that that has been so important and integral to what we do at Wizard World, that they come ready for the show. It's usually in August, and this year we're October, so the date is a little different, but we think that same energy that we had in August will still be here. And you know, it's been 2 years since we've done a show. The last show was 19 here. Our last Wizard World show was 2020 in Cleveland in March, but the last Wizard World Chicago was August of 2019. So we're 2 years plus since we've been here, and walked in the center today while we're doing setup and looked around, and it's like we never left.
That's right. And the thing is that it actually dovetails kind of nicely with Halloween, though, right? So you have that sort of already that really incredible sense of mystery and, you know, fun and fantasy. And what I've always loved about going to Wizard World, I've mentioned this before, my son Declan has severe intellectual and physical challenges. And Wizard World was the first place, and I think the boys must have been maybe 8 or 9. And it was one of those environments where people didn't stare at him. They celebrated because whatever he was like, whatever fantasy we were sort of enjoying. And I think that has also been a part of whether it's the cross play and cosplay and really exploring, you know, different, whether it's gender or race, everything that is sort of embraced by fantasy and sci-fi, don't you think?
My favorite thing about Wizard World is not people meeting celebrities as much as people meeting each other.
Yes.
Who share the same loves, the same fandoms. When you go to a Cubs game, you're there with 40,000 other people who love baseball and love the Cubs. When you come to a Wizard World show, you're there with thousands or tens of thousands of other people, and many of them love Spider-Man. Many of them love the Hulk. Many of them love manga. Many of them love playing table games. It doesn't matter. We have lots, so many different things that are at the show that no matter what your son loves, there's something there for him. And there's many other people there who love the same thing.
Yes.
People make connections at our shows, real interactive, real life connections that last forever, because it's people sharing those loves and those joys in that setting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I can pull up pictures for you before you go, because they are some of my favorite moments with my boys. And as you mentioned, it is fun to meet some of the celebrities. I've met like Ralph Macchio and Michael Rooker and even Lonnie Anderson. You guys had Lonnie Anderson there a couple of years ago.
I loved meeting Lonnie.
Wasn't that wonderful?
That Lonnie Anderson. Well, with Wizard World, you can go and you can meet the Stephen Amells and you can meet the Michael Rookers, and they're great. They're awesome. But there's those hidden gems in there. Richard Anderson is my favorite all-time Wizard World guest. He was almost 90, I think, the last shows that he came to in the early 20s, the teens. He was in $6 Million Man, and he was just the nicest man. And he's one that came to a lot of our shows. He's not the biggest name. He's not the most popular guy. But, man, he had photographs on his table of 50 different movies that he was in, and he would sit and talk to you, and he did a lot of press for me, and just my favorite all-time guest. And he's not the biggest name who ever came to our show, but people will go, and you met Lonnie Anderson, and you'll meet someone at this show that, you know, you'd never think would be your favorite one to meet. You'll go to their panel. You'll see Rob Paulsen talking to people. I got to go over there. What's he all about? And find out he's the nicest man in the world, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what our show is about, is not just the big names. And it's great. Sam Heughan, the people come for Outlander, they're going to get to meet Sam. They're going to get to meet, you know, Duncan LaCroix. And that's awesome, because that show is now, and it's exciting and it's fun and people love it. but you have all those other opportunities that maybe don't involve celebrities, or if they do, it could be even the lower, lesser known ones, but they're just great to meet.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, like Barry Boswick's one of my favorites that I met there, and of course everyone had like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but his career has a span of decades. Like I geeked out over, he made a movie about George Washington. He and Jacqueline Smith, she played like the woman he, anyway, we're not going to get into that because
you
we're here.
It's one of my favorites though. And he did this show. He's done this show a couple times. I think that this was the first show I ever met Barry at. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And then he became a standard at our shows. And we hope to get him back soon.
Me too. He was one of my, I'm just scrolling through my photos, seeing if I can find you some of the stuff that I've done there. Because people get to really express themselves. And as you mentioned, it's just the whole gamut of there are no rules. You know, I mean, like safety, obviously, which brings me to there's two things. One, I think the primary one in everyone's mind is what are the COVID precautions you're taking?
Well, sure. Well, we have some talk points and some tenets that we have on the website and the FAQs. We invite people to look at that in our safety section. Just if you're not feeling well, stay home.
Yes,
it's
please.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on site, you'll have the mask. And the mask mandate is ironclad. It's from the moment you walk into the center till the moment you leave, all the rooms, all the everything that we have going on there, you'll have to wear the mask except when you're sitting down eating.
Okay.
If you're in one of the snack areas.
Sure.
Otherwise, once you get up, we need you to put the mask back on. Get really inventive with the mask. Some are already going to be wearing masks. You don't even need to put a mask over the mask. If you've got a mask, it's your costume. That's going to suffice.
Exactly.
We want people to feel safe. We want people to feel comfortable. And we want you to enjoy this experience like you would any other Wizard World, understanding that we're in times that are not like all other times. But we're going to, you know, I always thought that these kinds of shows, these big pop culture conventions, were going to be the last thing to come back because of the nature of the shows. Our shows are, they're interactive. You're talking to other people. You're meeting people. You're seeing celebrities close. So these were the last things. Baseball, all the sports came back. Concerts came back. Everything came back. And now the shows are coming back. And we're excited to welcome people. We want you to feel safe. And we want you to feel welcome because this is our show. This is our baby. And you can probably hear it in my voice. There's a little tinge of sadness, but excitement that, you know, it doesn't mean we're not coming back to Chicago. We are. It's just going to have a different name.
Name. Exactly. And I'll bet that some of the vendors are going to have some really cool masks, by the way, because you have great vendors for any, whether it's T-shirts or any of the, you know, the accoutrement for the characters that you like.
Yeah, what's neat is that you're going to find things that you never knew existed. Mm-hmm. The example I like to use and talk about is with Lou Ferrigno. So people love the Hulk, and they're coming to our show because they want to meet Lou Ferrigno, and they're going to get themselves in to go see him in the celebrity area. They're going to walk by some fans dressed as the Hulk and the She-Hulk. Yep. They're going to walk by a vendor who has a Hulk mask or a Hulk piece or something you've never seen before. They're going to go past Artist Alley, and there's going to be an artist with an interpretation of the Hulk that you've never seen before either. And then finally you get there and there's Lou and you get to meet him and it caps off your day. So you don't even know what you're going to go to Wizard World, and you may come out of there with a new favorite that you didn't know was going to be your favorite because you ran into it and saw it. And it's this immersive experience of everything being all together, mm-hmm. right? The celebrities are not off in some faraway room where you can't walk by and see them. They're all there. They're all out in the open. But it's in the same room where the cosplayers are and where the kids zone is and where all the things that are part of our show are. You're going to be part of all of it at once, which is the cool part.
It is amazing. I love that. How do folks get all the information that they need to be at Wizard World and to make sure that they are following all the precautions?
Yeah, the best place is wizardworld.com. Mm-hmm. And when you click on the ticket section, there's actually the list of all those things I spoke about. There's the FAQ for the general fans. There's the safety FAQ, which is very important to click on that and just know what you need to do when you get on site. And all that is right there, and all the options are there. And kids 10 and under are free. Kids 10 and under have always been free at our show. Please bring the kids. Bring as many kids as you want. We've got a kids zone that's huge this year. the people setting up the kid zone today were like, we've never had a kid zone so big, so there's going to be a lot of room for them to roam around. Kids costume contests on Saturday and Sunday. They are the impossibly cutest things you've ever seen. And it's right on the main stage, right on the entertainment stage. We've got something happening all the time at the show. You know, some events you go to, and if you're not interested in something, you've got a dead hour. Mm-hmm. There's no dead minutes at Wizard World, unless you want to go rest.
Right.
There's something happening. The entertainment stage has music and dancing and trivia contests and giveaways and all kinds of stuff all day. The panel rooms, there's three or four of them going on at a time. And that's not just the Q&A panels with the celebrities. That's panels about pop culture. We have a women's sports panel going on just to talk about this burgeoning women's sports, that people are finally understanding how great following women's sports is. So we have one of the leading podcasters, local, a gal, doing that as well. So, you know, our show is everything in pop culture. It doesn't matter what it is, from comics to cosplay to music to everything, movies, TV. That's what Wizard World's all about.
Well, I'll be there to celebrate this one and many more to come under a different name. But we're excited that you've been here and to share all the insights on this. Everyone, remember, go to wizardworld.com and you'll find the information for Chicago's event. Is there anything you wanted to make sure that you said that you had planned and you're like, oh, I forgot
something?
Well,
there's two booths you have to stop by. Okay. Press registration, that's me. Say hi. Tell me. And you got to stop by the WCPT booth. Come on. Win prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be there.
Excellent. I'll be there too. I'll be there tomorrow, and then I'll see what I can do over the weekend as well.
I love it.
I'm gonna bore you with a bunch of pictures when we go to the break.
I can't wait.
I love Wizard World
pictures. I got a whole bunch of it in my phone.
I just remembered that when Griffin dressed up as Robin, everyone wanted photos with him. All the characters, they were all like, hey, that's the thing, is that when you go to Wizard World, you are actually also a celebrity when you're wearing costumes like that. Everyone, you're right, they celebrate each other, not the famous people.
It's a carnival, not a circus. The circus, you go and you sit and it's great and you watch it. The carnival, you participate in.
Yes.
Right? You're rolling the ball and the bocce, you're doing all that. That's what you do at Wizard World. You're participating in it.
That's a great way to put it. I love it, Jerry. I'll see you over the weekend.
Yes, you will.
Enjoy your dinner. I'm sorry I can't join you tonight, but have a lovely evening and the rest of your stay in Chicago, too.
Thanks so much.
We're always glad to have you. Thank you. It's a break here, and our conversation continues after this break on WCPT Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez.
Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive on WCPT Willow Springs, is powered by ComEd. Lower your energy bills and reduce your carbon footprint with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program.
WCPT 820, Chicago's progressive talk, where facts matter.
Vasquez is taking your calls now at 773-763-9278. Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez now on WCPT 820.
I did love from the corner of my eyes, I could see Lady B like waving her arms. We're back on the air. Turn your microphone on. I was talking to Jerry about Wizard World. I will be there again tomorrow from 5 to 6. And then on Sunday all day, I'll be hanging out and meeting some of the great folks there. So don't forget, like Jerry said, to stop by our booth and say hi and let us know what's your favorite thing at Wizard World. I have been, I know we talked a little bit earlier about the president of the Fraternal Order of Police saying that, basically urging his, the rank and file not to follow the requirements, the mandates. And it really is something that I'm wondering how we get to a place where we can talk to each other again about science and the truth and facts, because I was talking to someone who told me that a friend of theirs had been diagnosed with COVID, and they were following that regimen of having ivermectin, which is and I know that there are uses for it for humans, for malaria. I know that they've used it in Africa. It has not been used for this. It has been used for deworming. It has been used for as an antibiotic kind of a thing, but that's not what is required in this situation. And I think it was really important, some information that we were listening to earlier on this station about not just the number of people who have died, which is over 700,000 people now, but also the people who are going to be disabled for the rest of their lives because of the way this virus has attacked their bodies, how it's affected their lung capacity, their strength, their energy. We still don't know what the, there's a lot of brain fog. So neurologically, we are going to have to do a lot of research going forward as far and monitoring folks. But how much, how, what are our resources like to devote to something that, you know, has been allowed and to spread at a rate that would have been manageable if we could have encouraged people to get vaccinated earlier and at a wider, you know, a wider population, because basically plateauing at 60% is not going to help us in whether it's the state of Illinois or the rest of the country. I know that there are some states that have better rates, but we still, we have to have cross state, interstate travel and international travel, and that will continue to make us vulnerable. So I am fascinated, by the, and by fascinated, I also mean, like, there's a lot of screaming in my head, like, why is really, why do people have to make this more complicated? Why is so, why does so much of it seem to be more about, owning libs or, not wanting to be told what to do, that this is some sort of expression of freedom or someone's rights, and even co-opting the phrase my body, my choice. But this isn't that. This isn't, you can't equate that with what, when we're talking about women's reproductive health and our autonomy, it is also for the public health, for the greater good of everyone, which is something that we in the past have been able to participate in, to say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. In order for everyone to be safe, we need to do this. I mean, we've done that for decades when it comes to school vaccinations. Oh, and here, actually, Jim is calling with, I bet you, with a similar thought. Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
I barely addicted to this phone. Anyway, I went to the movies today with my younger brother. He's a year younger than I. Anyway, I said, when we would get our polio shots, I went with about seven cousins and him and I, and we went out to a forest preserve and got our polio shot. I said, can you imagine if we would have said to my mother and my aunt, we're not going. We don't want no shot. You know, we're not gonna get, we would have been shot. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but in this case, what's interesting about this, because of the advent of the computer, I say that without social media, if this was 20 years ago, everybody would have gotten a shot and everybody would have worn a mask and everything else. But
probably right.
What I'm mad about is I had to go into hiding by myself and in my own volition on March 10th. They had 2 months, the CDC and the epidemiologists and everybody else dropped the ball on this, because in the age of the social media, so-called, whatever social about it, I don't know, but you think they would have got the message out to everybody, and everybody, they could have saved a lot of lives. They're going over the autopsies in England, for instance. If they would have messed up and social distanced, they would have saved maybe a half of what people had done. Here we probably could have saved 500,000 lives if it was, and I'm not blaming Trump or politics or anything, because I'm blaming everybody concerned. It should have been out the pharmacist, it should have been the local doctors, it should have been everybody in January that there was a virulent disease and that we were all subject to it. And if we would have gotten that message on the news, I mean, everybody fell down on this thing. I'm sure 100 years from now, I'll go, oh my God, you know, you could have done so much better. But
right.
What it tells me, it had to be, you know, the social media, you know, explosion is supposed to be so, it's supposed to be so beneficial. But in this particular case, it was deadly because everybody was mum's the word. I mean, I went into hiding on March 10th or something on my own, because I had heard about it at the track a couple of times. People were talking about this disease. And I'm like, thinking myself, oh, Jesus. So I went to get a sandwich. And the guy says, you coming in? I said, no. I said, you know, why don't you bring it out? I said, just out of a takeout. And then I said to myself, I'm staying in. And sure enough, 2 days later, the whole city's on fire with it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think you're right that they weren't talking about it, because I to be fair, I was kind of in a bubble, but I didn't realize that there were places in California, that there were cities that were already going on lockdown. And we were kind of behind that a little bit, don't you think?
Well, you think it would be on the news. You think it would be on 579 and Fox News or whatever. I don't know, maybe Fox News wants to kill everybody. But my point being, it would be on the regular news.
Right.
You know, I called up Joan. I said, think if it was 1980 and you were on the television, do you think that this thing would have gotten out of this proportion? Without social, she said, no, it never would have happened. That would have been on the news. It would have been the front story. You know, 700,000 Americans are going to die from a virulent disease. I think that would be the number one subject on the news.
Well, look at how
so
much...
they dropped the ball.
They did.
They dropped the ball. Everybody did drop. Everybody dropped the ball on this. And you'll see the autopsies come up. You know, they'll say in America, you know, 50 years from now, oh, yeah, we would have, the CDC would have warned on social media, called the drugstores and the television stations and everybody else that they could, you know, like Paul Revere, warn us.
Right.
They probably would have saved, they would have saved so many lives, you know.
Well, why was the Ebola, the smattering of Ebola cases in the United States, grabbing the headlines at a much larger rate? It was amplified every single day because the Republicans were manipulating that situation for the midterm elections. And then it went away, and there wasn't anywhere near the situation we were in. And President Obama had a plan in place to contain it when people were arriving at airports, and they would, remember, they would have people in hazmat suits. They would contain the entire plane and make sure that everyone was safe. Yep.
But I don't think it was as sinister as that. I mean, I don't think that the Trump White House said, okay, we'll sit on this information. I mean, I know they sat on it because of the election, but it shouldn't have been political, Patty. It should have been humanity first. Forget politics. This was life and death. This has nothing to do with politics, really. You know what I mean? What? The epidemiologist, everybody who's in the scientist should have got a better way of telling us that the sky was falling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think exactly. I think that and Trump was even on a recording with Bob Woodward saying that it was bad, that it was really bad. And then he didn't do anything about it. He sat on the information.
Well, but I can understand his position because he didn't want to. He was running for president, and he figured he would. I think he would have bombed China or Iran if he would have gotten his way. Don't you think?
Yeah,
I think that the generals had to warn China. He's the first person in American history to do anything like that. I mean, the Justice Department had to run out of the room. I mean, he was doing things that nobody in the history of the United States has done. And I'm sure that he didn't want to ruin his chances for re-election.
Yep,
but. We shouldn't have been held hostage to that.
No,
we
not at all. Do you remember?
You know what I mean?
Do you remember he said it was going to be gone by Easter? Do you remember that?
Well, he's crazy. Anyway. But why do you think his followers are so, why do they think that this is going to benefit them politically not to get a shot and not to wear a mask?
How much of it do you think is protecting his reputation, right, from the responsibility he deserves?
It has to be some insane thought like that. Like you're going to, some human being, you're going to pay tribute to him by not getting a shot and not wearing a mask.
Exactly.
Pay tribute to this individual.
Yep.
Now, that is absolutely absurd. That is beyond reason. That's beyond any kind of reason.
But I don't think they consciously believe that. I think that people who refuse to get vaccinated, and with the president of FOP saying, do not comply with reporting whether or not you're vaccinated, while we might say it's to protect, we think intellectually that is that to protect Donald Trump's reputation, but it's also that idea that like they're part of this group. It's our group. We have to be right about this, and we have to stand firm on saying that we will not do this. There are people, you've heard people say that they lie to their family members or friends about getting vaccinated. They don't want to tell them they have received the vaccine because they're afraid of the backlash from even those in their own community. It's crazy.
But it's absolutely absurd. But it has to be social media. Because that wouldn't happen without social media. The absence of social media, that never would have happened. These people wouldn't have taken this staunch of a stance. I mean, because the reality is this. I'd rather die in the hospital getting a shot, rather than right in the hospital getting a shot, than go into the hospital and breathing on a ventilator for 3 weeks, a terrible death. I'd rather drop dead from the shot. But this has to be social media. That's my contention. Anyway, I'm addicted to your show, Patty. I'm sorry to keep you on so long. Thank you very much, Jim.
No apologies.
Have a good
be well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jim. Take care. We'll take a break here and keep taking your calls. I know David is on hold, so that'll be. And he's calling from San Francisco, so I better hurry up and get back because, I mean, maybe it's nicer weather there that he has to get out and enjoy. 773 763-763-9278. That's our number to call or text us. Let's have a conversation. Tell me what's on your mind. And do that right when we come back.
The Hal Sparks Radio Program.
Governors of pro-Trump states, they must show their fealty towards Trump by mitigating any support for the health and safety of their own citizens against COVID so that they don't upset him or the minority of his supporters amongst the Republicans in their state, which are often the majority of the voters in their state.
Hal Sparks, Saturdays from 11 to 1 on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Patty Vasquez is taking your calls now at 773-763-9278. Driving it home with Patty Vasquez now on WCPT 820.
We're heading into the home stretch before we turn the station over to Rick Unger. And I want to continue our conversation. I know the phone lines are lighting up and David has been on hold calling from San Francisco. Hey, David, how are you doing?
Oh, good, Patty. Finally, San Francisco is getting back to some clean air. Pretty much the wildfires are all gone except for down near Kevin McCarthy's district and Devin Nunez's district. Those cities in the Central Valley, they've had it hard this year. Between a heat wave that was, I think, for the month of July, it was never below 97 degrees.
Oh, my God.
And then the wildfire smoke, it was pretty much like 150 parts per million, up to like 400 parts per million. It's just brutal. And so, it is. It's kind of amazing that, people in Republican districts like that, Fresno and Bakersfield, they just... You know, I don't know if I kind of think that they're trapped by organized crime. They're trapped by, training of, there's a kind of an organized crime that's been around in California. If you've ever seen the old movie Chinatown, it had to do with water theft. And that if you were going to try to make it in agriculture, you really had to kiss up to the power brokers to get water. Mark Twain even talked about it. In California, they don't fight over women, they fight over water.
It's a great line.
And so, it's terrible, And when it comes to global warming, those people in the Central Valley know it exists. And, we don't get rainfall, all through the year. We only get the snowpack in the mountains for the most part, and that has to slowly melt throughout the year. But for the last 10 years, it's been melting as early as the end of January. One year we had it all gone by the end of January, and they have to have that through April, through May, in order to water their crops. And so I think this year it was all pretty much gone by March. That's part of the reason why food prices are going up. The reason I called, I don't know if you've read, there was a piece that came out in early last year. I think it came out in either April or May of 2020. It was in Vanity Fair, and it's called Jared's Testing Plan Goes Poof. And basically it describes how Donald Trump, when he learned about how bad the virus was, he handed it off to his son-in-law, who had no credentials, no responsibility to the government. He was not a GSA employee. And he basically started making all sorts of dirty contracts. And so, like I say, it's called Jared's Testing Plan Goes Poof. And I've wondered, if you remember late last spring, there were all of these seizures. Jared would get the FEMA trucks to show up and steal the supplies from various states, and then he'd bootleg them. This was like the PPEs and all sorts of different ventilators were also a big, ugly contract that Jared came up with. And so when you start looking at it with the profiteers, they couldn't allow it to stop early. They had to have it drag on and drag on and drag on in order to jack up the prices. So, I, this article, Jared's testing plan goes.
Tracking it while we're talking, and it says that they had an order of over 3.5 million tests for an amount owed of $52 million, with the client name simply noted WH for the White House. And yeah, I mean, and these are tests that they. This is a great article. I appreciate it. And it's so funny. This is what we're talking about. Is like all these things didn't seem to be amplified at the early onset, and it makes sense when you say that we, you know, testing people would have meant they would have been diagnosed and accelerated how we treat it, how we avoid it, how we save people. But if you're going to make money off the test, off of people, you know, all of this stuff, you needed it to spread.
Yeah. You know, it's even uglier. Yesterday, the big headlines were the Governor Abbott of Texas was basically doubling down on stupid and making sure that nobody was forced to get vaccinated or wear a mask. And if you look at the their a couple of websites that show populations and of Texas, and there's a county called Loving, Texas, and it's one of the dinkiest. I think there's only 211 people in the entire county, and five of them have COVID. So if you can imagine that a solid year ago, this thing did not need to spread from the transportation routes. It didn't need to spread from the international cities. If it had been tracked and traced early, as I understand it, out in China, they started doing, there were these photographs of people, and they'd have the thermometers, and they'd test their temperature from the their forehead. And then if they seemed to have COVID, they, if they lived in an apartment building, they would make sure that all of the sick or potentially sick people were put on a certain floor so that they didn't share the elevator, that they had food brought into them, that they stayed self-quarantined.
Right.
And they nipped it in the bud by that tracking and tracing.
Exactly.
And because... yeah, the paranoia, though, if you look at the QAnon types and the Trump types and all of the organized crime types that are profiteering, they had to stir up the paranoia, oh, big government's going to come and get you, as opposed to, you know, that your health department is going to try to make sure that this thing doesn't spread. You know, they turned paranoia into a weapon, and that justified the profiteering. So it's a really ugly scene, and it could have been prevented. But now the tiny county of Loving, Texas has got five cases.
Yeah, it's you brought up something that I have actually thought about for a while now when we were in the grips of this, you know, when it was we didn't have a vaccine yet and people didn't, as you mentioned, trust the government. We need to have a better relationship with our public health system. And that was something else that was not established, whether it's statewide, county, city, all those things. We always consider public health to be something that isn't for us. We're like, that's for someone else. And we think of it as, you know, for the poor or the homeless, that is our public health system. And that was something I think that would have been helpful on the national level, at the local level, to get that information out there and help save lives.
Well, you know, down the street from me is Glide Church, kind of a famous church that deals with the homeless and, you know, underprivileged people. It's been a kind of an activist church for 40, 50 years. And if I were to walk down there right now, I could get tested for free. I could get vaccinated for free. They take up the whole street. They block off the whole street. They've got, you know, anybody anywhere in San Francisco, rich or poor, could come down there to this day and get tested and or vaccinated without any problem. And the fact that they were doing it, they were giving away the first vaccines in January, and they were doing testing in September that I know of. I think that was one of the earliest tests in San Francisco. And they were doing it for free for the homeless, ostensibly, but for everyone that wanted it.
Right.
And so people who were going to, if you remember late last autumn, people were begging Kaiser, begging all the major hospital chains to get them tested, to get them back. Well, they didn't have vaccines. And they had to wait months while Glide Church made sure that everybody got it for free. I also got mine for free at Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. And this is just It's a pity, but it also shows San Francisco's death count as of right now. I haven't seen it today, but it's right around 650 people, not 10,000 people for an international city like us, 650 people. Devin Nunez's district, Kevin McCarthy's district, is at least three times more deadly than us.
I believe it.
Because they're the ones that are ranting like cowboys and lying about it and you know, stirring up the paranoia.
That's
a pity.
It is a pity. We've got to end it there, and I apologize to our friends Roosevelt and Glenn who are on hold. Please call back tomorrow. I've got to turn the station over to Rick Unger. It's been a pleasure talking to you, David. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, stay safe, Chicago.
Yeah, you too, San Francisco. Take care. We're going to be back tomorrow. We've got, we're going to have Kirk Bankstead on from Minocqua Brewery to discuss his lawsuits against the school districts in Wisconsin that refuse to keep children in our communities safe. Have a great night. Thank you, Lady B. Always wonderful to work with you and everyone here at WCPT. Have a lovely night, everyone.